You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
Hi, everybody. Great to be here with you. My topic today is raising our kids in community, kind of focusing on priorities and a little bit on fears. And I thought we would just start with this quote. This is a quote from Psychology Today. It says, "The definition of what it means to be a good parent has expanded tremendously. In my grandmother's day, she thought she was doing a good job if her children were reasonably clean. My mother could pat herself on the back if her children were fairly obedient. But nowadays, parents are told that they're responsible for fostering their kids' success in a wide range of areas, academic, social, musical, athletic, spiritual, artistic, etc. Many parents are afraid to do anything less than everything possible to ensure their children's success, while also worrying about not being a tiger mom or snowplow parent or whatever the parent insult du jour is." I just wondered if you guys had thoughts about this quote. How do you agree that this is like a trend, something that we see, that we feel this need to be everything to our kids? And how does that thinking, if you agree with that, how does that thinking affect our parenting?
So go ahead and raise your hand so we can record it.
If you have a thought, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've been hearing a lot lately about concept creep with a lot of different things, and I feel like this falls into that category of, like, it used to mean something specific, but yeah, I feel like there's just so much pressure recently to, like, every waking moment of parenting is, like, spent trying to mold your kid in some
way.
Yeah,
that's really good. Any other thoughts? Yep.
Yeah, I feel like I agree, and it's honestly kind of a relief, I feel like, to that first paragraph. I'm like, oh, okay, so, like, my grandma did a good job, I think, raising her kids, so maybe I am okay if my kids are just clean at the end of the day, which is sometimes all we accomplish. But most days, yeah, I totally am in that bottom paragraph, and, you know, I feel like maybe it's just me, but, you know, we vilify social media a lot. I think there are a lot of problems with it, but I think that definitely contributes to it, because you see, I mean, kids are so busy and in everything, and then you see all your friends doing it, and it can be really easy to think, like, well, if they're doing it, then I need to be doing it, and not really know what else to measure your success by than what you see the people around you doing.
Right, that's right. So good. Yeah, that's excellent. So I hear pressure, comparing, just like some worries about whether we're doing the right things.
Yeah, and I think that it just makes our to-do list longer. You know, like the world says, you need to have matching pajamas for your kids at Christmas, and you need to have an advent calendar that looks cute, and you need to have your, you know, watch your holiday movie in a tidy living room. And the Bible's like, no, you need to celebrate Christ's birth. Like, let's, yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, the to-do list just seems like insurmountable when you think about having to have all these things and do all these things.
That concept creep idea got me thinking about, like, how our culture is all about optimization, and so it focuses a lot on performance, and I think for me that I'm already geared towards performance and goal achievement, it's really hard to be like, wait, step back, like, this isn't just about goal or achievement or performance, like, this is more about grace. That's what I want to model to my kids.
Yeah, it's so easy to get into some pretty hardcore performance and evaluation of yourself under this. Why am I buzzing?
I was thinking too, this also creates a lot of distance between us and our kids, and this can start from day one, but the more we're just consumed with all the things they need to be succeeding in and all the activities and tasks, it's cutting off our capacity to be relational.
Totally.
And I've seen this, like, I've nanny a couple kids that are 8 and 11, and it's every single night, like, we have karate, you have this, you have that, and the little boy is crying, like, I don't want to go, I just want to do nothing. And he doesn't see his parents, like, at all that whole day, and so he misses them, he's sad, he's overwhelmed. And I think we fall into that too when we're filling our parenting with just things and pushing our kids to right. be involved, we end up missing out on time with them.
Right. That's such a good point that it's so easy to have that list or that idea of what we need to do, what our kids need, this, they need to be exposed to that, they need to get into this thing. And yet, what we'll talk about today is that actually the most important thing is relationship. That actually is the most important thing for our kids. So I know when I was parenting, like Sherry said, my kids are 28 and 30. So it was quite a long time ago that I had little kids. And at that before I ever was a parent, I did not have many worries or concerns about stuff. And then I became a parent, and it was like all of a sudden overnight, I had all these like concerns about, you know, taking care of this person who needed me nonstop. And it was such an interesting experience. But you guys, I feel like, have it even much harder than I did in terms of the level. I mean, I feel like becoming a parent does have that kind of fear and pressure and feeling of being, you know, just worrying about doing things right. But you guys do have like an extra level that I actually didn't have because we didn't have social media back then. I didn't have a cell phone. I had a cell phone, but I didn't have a smartphone. So it's a very hard time that you guys live in to parent. But that's where I think, you know, for me, having a relationship with God really makes a difference in terms of having some priorities. So I thought these pictures kind of illustrate sometimes how parenting feels, like we're trying to juggle, like just that thing that you described about the kid going to 100 different activities, like we're trying to juggle so many things, or having the tidy room and the pajamas and the movie and the, you know, like having all the stuff going, or maybe like we're trying to move and immobile, you know, like something that's impossible for us to do. Or like that third picture, we sometimes feel like we have kind of like a moving target, like right now, this is the thing that is most important. But wait, next week, there's another thing that is really important. So I feel like these images kind of reflect some of that stuff that you guys were talking about. And I think that, you know, we need to remember, I think one thing that we need to remember is that we're flawed people who are trying to do a really challenging job. And we're flawed people who love our kids and want what is best for them. And so I think it's really important today for us to talk through some of these ideas, because we actually have a resource that is super valuable for us. And so I'm kind of going a little bit backwards from my title. I'm going to talk first about priorities, and then I'm going to talk about community and eventually kind of throw in that fear, even though we've kind of put some of those fears out there. So in thinking about priorities, I want to lay out first that we have a really awesome resource available to us as parents. God created us. God created parenting. He's the one who, like, created it, so he knows a lot about it. He knows all about us. He knows about our relationships. He knows about what matters. So he's happy to give us insight into what the most important things are. James 1:5 says, "If any of you need wisdom, you should ask God and it will be given to you. God is generous and won't correct you for asking." He's a good, generous God who wants to be involved personally in our lives. And he's able to help us keep the most important things important. Now, I know that some of you guys might be here today and just not have a relationship with God and might be investigating. And I just want to say, like, I really encourage you to just investigate who he is. And he does have, there is a kind of wisdom that comes from him because he is the creator and he is personal and he loves us. And so he truly is an awesome resource when it comes to parenting. So the first thing, as we think about, like, what are our priorities in parenting, we have to think through our own, solidify our own personal priorities about life in order to help our kids and to be able to emphasize the things that are most important for them. So one of the things that I think is a good question to ask, do I believe that God is worth listening to on this? Do I actually think that he might have some wisdom? Philippians 3 says, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Like, the Bible actually says the most important high priority we can have is to know God personally. And so as we're thinking through, what do I want for my kid? What do I believe about my life? This is an important question to wrestle with. Do I actually believe he's worth following? Do I believe he's worth listening to? Do I think he has something valuable to say? And that's something that, like I said, is worth investigating, but also for all of us, is worth thinking, do I actually believe this? Do I really, when it comes down to it, I'm a super independent, stubborn person, and a lot of times my answer is, I actually think I have better ideas about things. I think I know how to do things. And not that I don't have some wisdom on my own, but I've had to go back week after week after week in my life and say, oh yeah, I actually believe that God has some wisdom on this. So what happens is in parenting, and you can see, like, you know, in our lives, it's so easy to kind of get into thinking like, I know what I want to do and this is my agenda. But what we, if we do want the wisdom that comes from something bigger than ourselves, we have to battle to keep him as our guide, because we're going to default to kind of just doing. It can happen in a lot of ways. It can just be, we can be doers and functioning, or it can be actually, you know, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say. But we need to battle to keep him as our guide. And the truth is, having his word and his wisdom from the Bible actually can create a secure foundation for our lives and our kids. And there's nothing better than that for us. When you think about something like the moving target, or you think about comparing yourself with your friends and what they're doing, it is so sweet to have like a firm foundation so that you're able to actually think about and think through things and deliberately decide based on something that's more firm than just what's being said in society at the moment. And he can help us establish what's most important for our kids. So first thing, as we think about priorities, is we need to think about our own, like, what do we really believe? Because if we haven't solidified that idea, it's going to be hard to put any of those kinds of things into practice for our own kids if we're not really at the heart of it, believing that God is worth following. So when it comes then to, so that's our priority in the big picture. When it comes to what's the most important thing in parenting, you guys have already listed off some things that, you know, these things tend to get our attention, like sports or academics or having fun or accomplishing things or having the easy life or easier life than we had or having more money than we had. These are all things that come into our minds when we think of our kids. What are dreams? What do we want for them? Or relationships also, as people have mentioned. And so these are things that kind of, as we think about it, these can be things that our minds can drift to, like, what are my priorities? What will be success for my kid? What are the things that I want to emphasize with my kid? What are the things that are going to make my kid have a fulfilled, happy life? And these are all things that come up, you know, in society. They're things that come up in our minds. They're things. What I found when I became a parent was I had all kinds of dreams and ideas for my kids that I had no idea I would have. There were so many things that I wanted for my kids that I didn't even realize were going to be in there somewhere. And so I think these, you know, it's good to think through what do I actually believe about what is most important in parenting. And when we look at what God says, what we find out is that God's highest priority is actually love. So all these other things can be good and fun, and they can be things that can enrich our kids' lives in different ways. But I think as we're thinking about our priority, it can be super helpful to realize, like, the highest goal that I should have if I want to align my thinking with the God of the universe is to have a love relationship with my child, and for my child to have strong love relationships with other people. And that is, I can tell you, as someone who now has adult kids, there's a lot of things that we did, a lot of things that my kids were involved in, and honestly, this idea of my relationship with them and their ability to love other people, hands down, the most important thing as I look at them as adults. They were awesome swimmers in high school. That was very exciting. But do I look back and say, oh man, I wish they could have just shaved off 2 more seconds off their time? No. I think, are they growing in their ability to love? That is much more important as a 28 and 30-year-old than shaving off a couple seconds from their time. So not that was bad. We loved our time doing that. But it is interesting how many things come into perspective as your kids become adults. And as you look back, it's really great that you're here now thinking through this stuff, because as you set your priorities now, you can carry those out through their whole lives and help them to become the people that are most fulfilled because they're involved in love relationships. Here's a few verses that I think are great for emphasizing how God prioritizes this. 1 John 4 says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." John 13 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, and you also love one another." And Romans 12 says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." And so just as a small portion of the emphasis that God puts on love relationships and how important this is. So interesting, non-biblical research supports love as being the highest priority too. So one of the things that's so fascinating to me is, you know, I have a relationship with God. I adhere to the Bible. However, research shows that this idea of helping someone to love others is actually high priority no matter what. So there's like a million studies on happiness. I don't know if you guys have ever like Googled that, but a lot of them have like threads that run through them. So things that create healthier and happier lives, things that come up a lot are friendships. So this guy was the director of Harvard's study of adult development, and for 75 years, they followed kids through their lives. And what they found was good relationships keep us happier and healthier. For 75 years, they did like this longitudinal study of the same people. and said that, you know, what's the most important thing? Good relationships. Forgiveness comes up a lot. Financial generosity comes up a lot. It's kind of surprising. There are people who say money can make you happy if you give it away, which is just a fascinating concept. We know that there is an aspect to having your general needs met that has to be there for some level of fulfillment and happiness. But it is interesting that financial generosity is considered something that brings about more happiness. Volunteering is another thing that comes up a lot. So this is interesting from the standpoint of when I am saying, you know what, God values love. Love relationships, actually, research shows volunteering is a kind of giving love relationship. Financial generosity is a kind of giving love. Forgiveness is something that obviously God holds high, and friendship or relationship. It comes through in all studies. So when we think about our priorities, I think we have to... Like, we have to wrestle through this. Like, what would my children say my priorities in life are? So there's the inward look that we need to take with ourselves. Like, what am I actually fixated on as something for my life that's going to make me fulfilled? What conclusions would our kids draw about what matters to us as they watch us day to day? It's kind of, I know I had a friend who her son would say, please no cleaning today. And, you know, it's like, oh, she was like, oh my gosh, that I must put a big emphasis on that. So whereas I had a son who said, do we have to have people over again today? So that emphasis was like bringing people into the house. Hard for kids who tend to be more introverted to live with a mom who's very extroverted, but good for them. We need to ask ourselves, how can we model and emphasize love in our lives? How are we modeling love relationships? Are we doing that in a way that shows our kids that this is our high value? And is learning to love others the focus of our daydreams for them? I think this is where we need to think through, like, what are at the heart of it in our secret mind and heart? What are the things that we most want for them? And if this isn't it, how can we start to think that through and try to evaluate, is this something that I should move up on the list a little bit? Is this something that I can start to emphasize more? I think one thing that I always felt was kind of a telling sign for me, besides daydream, like ideas I had, was what did I ask them about? Like I know some of you guys have real little kids, but like as they get a little bit older, they're in preschool, they're in elementary school, like what am I asking them? What questions am I asking them that I care about? Am I asking like, how did you do on the test? Or am I asking more like, who did you talk to today? That kind of shaping can be helpful because it's real easy to drift into the sort of, you know, focusing on some of the more like external things. And I don't mean to indicate in any way that like, it's, you know, this is not meant to put you in a bigger pile or like have a greater to-do list where now you're like, oh God, wait, what am I asking them today? But also in our own thinking, it is so helpful to be honest with ourselves and actually try to think through like what are the things that I'm paying attention to and how do I want to help them with those things? One of the things that's hard about this topic is that when you do set priorities, it means saying no to some good things. Because if you're gonna make certain things your highest priority, you have to learn how to pick the best and not just the good. Because there's tons of good things that we can, you know, focus on, but we can't do everything. So I like this quote from a spiritual clinic by Sanders. It says, "There are many relationships, pleasures, and activities which, while not sins, could be termed weights, for they impede progress in the heavenly race and should therefore be laid aside. They may be in themselves noble things, intellectual things, beautiful things, but if our participation in any of these dims our vision of the ultimate goal of the purpose of God, loving others, makes our going less determined and steady, they become weights and hinder." And I think that's where you see, you know, just this situation here where she shared about someone that she nannied, and the child was crying because I have these many activities to do. Those can be great activities, but when those things kind of blot out the more important, then that's when we start to see that we need to be careful to try to think through and be deliberate in our choices about what is most important and what's best. So with that in mind, then I'm going to focus, then this seems obvious, right? Like, I just talked about how love relationships are the most important thing to God and for our kids. And so therefore, community is really important. And so what would you guys say are some of the ways that you have benefited from being involved in a community while raising kids, if you have any thoughts on that?
So my parents were not very good examples of parenting or marriage.
Don't worry, we're not taking
like
this.
That. Yeah, cool. So I feel like having kids, I was like very excited, but I was just clueless. Like,
yeah.
I just have no clue what I'm doing. And I think raising kids in community has, one, shown me that that's a totally normal feeling.
Right.
But two, like, has just given me so many ideas. And like right now I'm really struggling with how to discipline my son, because discipline in my house meant a completely different thing
right.
than what God's discipline is, you know? And so it's been really cool to just have so many people in my life who have already been through this, who are currently going through it, and who have a godly perspective on it.
That's really great. It's so helpful to have wise people who can help us, you know, especially when we have areas that we don't really have that much understanding of. It's really good.
I just think, you know, my kid brings me a lot of joy, and so I love my kids so much, and then getting to bring other people I love to, like, share in those things has just been, like, really fun. And then the really, like, hard things, like, even if, you know, I'm in a college group, so even if people I'm with, like, don't understand, they're still, like, mourning when there's, like, really sad and hard
Good.
Parts, and they're rejoicing when there's, like, you know, when she's taking her first steps. And I think just getting to share that with people is, like, the best thing.
Totally.
In the world.
There's so much joy in that kind of sharing of lives. It's just fantastic to have a wider circle of people who cheer on or weep with your family. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I was thinking similarly to that. I feel like parenting is a really isolating experience sometimes. And
yeah.
Especially like parenting during a pandemic, like having a baby during COVID, you know, it's been really hard. And I think that, like, as I've been reflecting recently about, like, God's graciousness to me, I've thought a lot about how my life would be so radically different if I didn't have brothers and sisters surrounding me, a lot of them who, you know, aren't parents themselves, you know, they're younger. But still, because of that unity in the Spirit, we're able to have, like, real support. And that fights against the lonely feeling that we can experience as we're trying to figure out these new territories that we're presented with.
I love that. I was thinking the same today on my way here. I was just thinking about how grateful I was for the way God has brought so many people into my life who have made a difference in how grateful I am to him for that gift. That's awesome.
On a practical level, I've benefited from having people that I trust be able to watch my children when I have something else going on. Like, I was just thinking there's been like three times in the last almost 7 years that we've been parents that either my husband or myself had to go to the hospital for some reason. And we've always been able to have somebody from our home church come and stay with our kids. That's and it's so not good. Even been an issue. It's like, I need to go and deal with this. But I also know and trust the person that is, you know, is staying with my kids too. Yeah. And so it's, just on a practical level, like, because I feel like that's something that you don't hear, like, a lot of moms that don't have this kind of community yeah. are so lonely. They don't trust their kids to anyone, you know, and so it's a huge benefit to have people that I can trust totally. Take care of my kids when I'm obviously dealing with my own medical or other issues.
Right, right. One more.
I think before having a baby, I would have thought that getting, like, encouraging texts would have been, like, sort of flowery and rainbows. Like, I don't really need encouraging texts about breastfeeding and sleep. And then the amount of times that I would get these long texts from people that experience the same exact thing, like issues on oversupply and biting your nipple. And, like, it just was, like, so funny. I was just was like, I needed that so much. Like, I can keep going, you know. And I just didn't think I would have needed it that much.
Yeah. That's so good. I mean, it is undoubtedly true that having community also is very helpful to us in parenting. And this came home to me really strongly when my older brother didn't have his first child till he was 43. So I already had my kids, and he called me and he was like, how did you do this? Like, and he was living in another state. They didn't have any family around them. They didn't have really a community. And he was really struggling and talked to me numerous times about how different my life, he noticed how different my life was compared with his in terms of having a support system. And I think that this is something that is so valuable and so important. And I'm not going to ask this next question, but I think this next question is about, are there times that you feel like being involved in community is at odds with raising kids? Just to kind of think about, we do sometimes feel these things too, where it's like, I don't want to do this tonight. I don't want to pack my kid up and go somewhere. And we can feel sort of like, I need to stay home, or I need to do this. And I'm not saying sometimes you do need to stay home. Sometimes you do need to have some comfort. Sometimes, you know, like, there's a lot of different things like that. But I think that we need to be aware that this idea of having community is so important. And we're going to have a temptation a lot of times to downgrade it. But we really need to continue to fight for that. We're built for relationships. Community is a place that we experience love and learn to love for ourselves and our kids. This is also backed up by non-biblical research. There's tons of studies on this too. Like, just again, just Google, like, do mothers need support? but this is an old study from University of Washington, and it said mothers without strong support from a community had higher levels of stress, and mothers with higher levels of stress were more worn down and pessimistic about parenting. Mothers with strong support from their communities had lower levels of stress and were optimistic about parenting. I think your comment about the texting just, like, shows that. Like, if you're sitting at home alone having these problems that you've never had before in your life, and you don't have anyone to, like, bounce those ideas off, that is really, that can feel not only isolated, but also stressful, and also feel like this is never going to end, and it's, you know, hard, it's terrible. So, again, one of my favorite things is that a lot of biblical truth actually goes along with what's actually everyone knows is true. So God's view is really powerful on this topic of community. Actually, like, having community support can be great no matter who it is. But God actually takes it to a next step where he's like, when you become a Christian, you actually are part of a community with other people who are Christians. And you're actually connected with each other in a way that's supernatural, coming from him. And so in Romans 12, he says, just as we have many parts in one body, and all the body's parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually parts of one another. It's like we're actually connected with each other. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some in the habit are doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this idea that we actually, when you do have a relationship with Christ, you're actually connected with other people who do too, and that we can learn how to encourage each other in a special way. So community is a source of God's love, and it's such a strong provision for us and our children. So other things that come along with community are that we can have help during helping each other during hardship. So there's a verse in Galatians 6 that says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. We can develop compassion and care for others. This goes along with something someone shared, this Romans 12 verse, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. God actually can help us and our children to become with people who are engaged in each other's lives in a way that we're able to connect in a compassionate and loving way. And community is a source of truth and perspective correction, which is Ephesians 4 says, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who's the head, that is Christ. And what I mean by this is that sometimes we just have wrong thinking. We're just, you know, we're going down a path where we're sort of like either being super pessimistic, or we're being, we're just starting to think like, I don't need any help from anyone, or like name it. We can go down all kinds of weird thinking, and actually being involved in community can be helpful to have people who are willing to come alongside and be like, hey, you forgot like this thing that we talked about last week where you were saying you really wanted to have this priority, or you really wanted to do this, or they're able to encourage. So it can be like perspective correction, or it can be encouragement. Like, actually, you're awesome at X, and I see the way you know, have really grown in this way, and you're like loving your kids super powerfully. That stuff is priceless. Having people who are really involved with us in a way that they know us and that they're able to encourage us and to correct our thinking when we need it is priceless. Community also helps kids work through difficult situations and relationships. And this is priceless as well. Having kids who learn how to deal with difficult things with their friends. James 3 says, the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And that basically is just saying that God gives us the wisdom to be able to love and to be able to learn how to make peace in difficult situations, because he gives us the wisdom to be able to do that. And that is awesome. If you think about your kids, like you think about like your child as a 28-year-old, if they're able to handle difficult situations, difficult relationships, that is awesome. And community is a source of tangible forgiveness. Colossians 3 says, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I mean, there is an amazing thing in community when you have relationships where you can be accepted with all your flaws, and where when you mess up, you can experience forgiveness from your friends. And that is also priceless. I mean, having that for your children to be able to be in a community where they're able to experience that kind of tangible acceptance, that kind of tangible forgiveness, is something that it impacts you for life, that kind of thing. It gives you a craving for authentic, honest relationships, because all of us are gonna have difficulty in relationships. All of us are gonna make mistakes. All of us are gonna screw up, but so sweet to be able to help our kids experience that kind of forgiveness. And community, so basically, community is one of the best tools that we have to solidify our priorities and stand against our fear. So this is how it comes back kind of like full circle. It's like, I wanna talk about priorities, but also community is a priority, and community then is also a way to help us keep our priorities straight and to actually stand against our fears. Like some of the things that you guys said earlier about that quote about keeping up with others and things like that. If you have authentic relationships where you're able to be honest with each other, you're able to stand, like, deal with some of those fears, talk about those fears, talk through the things that you're worried about, and we can help each other get our thinking straight in a way that's going to be aligned with what we know is really important. So when we're tempted to, like, run down the wild fear, whatever, like, I went through some crazy times when my kids were kids, like, I was really obsessed with education. I was a teacher. I was obsessed with education. And I had two very talented kids, too. So there were times that I was, like, very overly focused on making sure that they got what they needed. Really, I can honestly say, in retrospect, I still believe education is important, but the amount of time that I spent focusing on that, not, it wasn't needed. My kids were fine. So what am I saying? I had friends and my husband who would sometimes be like, hey, you've kind of gone through down in this dark hole about this topic, and I think you need to, like, kind of rethink, like, what is the most important thing that you want for your kids right now? So this is a quote from a book called Broken Down House by Paul Tripp. And he says, it's a call to community that is intentionally intrusive, sounds kind of a little scary, Christ-centered, grace-driven, and redemptive. You're not designed to live without it. Life in this broken down house really is a community project. I like this quote because this world is flawed, we're flawed, and he's basically saying, community is important for us. And sometimes it's going to be tough because we don't always want people to tell us the truth when we are struggling. And yet, it is an opportunity to truly have the kind of love relationships that matter. So how are these priorities and community related to fears? I kind of already talked about this a little bit, but I think having deliberate priorities helps address fearful thoughts. Like, so we can get fearful about lots of different things. If we're able to be deliberate and think through what really matters, that can help us when it comes to some of our fears. Because a lot of times our fears can be about peripheral things, and so it can help kind of align us back to focus in on what's really important, I'm not saying like magic, it will take care of your fearful thoughts, but I'm just saying that realigning our thinking can help put those fears in perspective. Also, having the God of the universe as a basis for love and wisdom creates a security. I always think about God as like my superhero friend who, like, if you actually had, you know, this is dating me, but I was really into Jessica Jones when that was on, and she, you know, had superhuman strength. And I used to think, like, oh, if I walked down the street with Jessica Jones, I wouldn't be too worried about anything. Well, really, we have the God of the universe. So he actually is personally involved, and he can create a kind of security for us that is very powerful. Involvement in community gives us friends who help us think through our fears and priorities for our kids, and involvement in community allows us to experience acceptance, forgiveness, and grace. So if you also Google regrets people have at the end of their lives, what you'll find is a list similar to this list. This is just one list, but these are regrets people have. Not spending more time with people I love, not being kinder to those I love, not being true to myself, being too afraid to express my feelings, losing touch with my friends. Those are the kinds of, like, every list will be somewhat like that. Do you see that's relational? Those regrets are all relational. Like, even the things that are not being true to myself or being too afraid to express my feelings, that's like a relational thing. And so as we think about our, like, our priorities, man, I just can't help but go back to this as being so powerful to set our minds and be deliberate about making this our top priority. Spending time, if you are a Christian, having a relationship with God and having a strong relationship with your kids and helping them to have strong relationships with others. We will never regret investing in our kids. I can tell you that. We'll never regret teaching our kids to love others. You will not regret that. And we need to fight. We need to fight for friendships for the long haul too. So, you know, this is kind of just the concluding thought is, all I can say is what I've already said, which is as somebody who now is out of the kid, you know, I don't have kids anymore. I mean, they're adults. I don't regret one bit of the time they spent with other people learning to love. I do not regret having multiple friends in my life and obviously investing in my relationship with my kids. But I really do think that you guys are in a perfect prime spot to really think through these priorities and try to sift through, like, how can you figure out what you really believe, put it into practice, and how can you develop friendships in a way that you're going to be able to maintain those too, some for the long, for your whole life, which can be super beneficial to your kids too, to have those adults in their lives who they've known since they were little tiny people. That's all I have. So I don't know if do you usually have like questions or if anyone has a comment or question.
Yeah, I think too, having Drew, one of her kids is in our home group, and we were talking about that the other night, and he said that he was really grateful for his parents emphasizing relationships and stuff. And I think, you know, sometimes we think they're going to miss out on something, but they really are grateful that we were willing to push that with them. And I think another thing is really important too is that this is so challenging for us to model, you know, with people, difficult people in our lives. Our kids are going to look at how we are dealing with kids that are, or friends that are hard to love or people, and that it drives us, how it needs to drive us to the Lord and say, we can't do this naturally. We need to really depend upon God. And that helps them see that they can't naturally be a good friend.
Oh, it's
like
really good,
they
sharing.
Have to really see the importance of going to God and praying about it and learning how to share, you know, what you do when your friend hurts your feelings, you know. And it's so easy to want to, you know, go in and try to minimize that or try to help them. But, like, it's a really good opportunity for them to go to the Lord.
It's really good. Agreed.
I liked your point about how basically God is able to, like, when we align our thinking with his, he's able to address our fears. And it made me think of Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And how, like, Ephesians talks about, as we are rooted in God's love, we are able to comprehend the hope that we have.
Yeah, good. That's great. So true.
Yeah, I was reminded of this a quote that I came across recently from one of the my favorite people on Instagram. Yes, we villainize social media, but they also have good things. but this mom, she shared this. She's she has foster kids and she's adopted and adopted children and has biological children too. But I really like what she says because she connects raising family and loving the Lord. And what she says is, reach out to someone and say, all I can see is scary and sad, and help me see God. Find someone who will point you away from the ups and downs, past your fears and feelings, beyond what you can see, to the one who is above and through it all. And I think that's the kind of friend that I want to be, but also I want those people in my life as well can look past all of this junk and remind me of who actually is above all and in control of it all.
It's good.
Thanks for the topic today, Liz. Something I was thinking about with community that I'm very much looking forward to as my kids get older is our culture teaches us that as a parent, you have to have it all. So you have to be like crafty and, you know, like you have to just be everything. And one of the great things about community is the fact that I don't, and I can be the person that God has made me to be, and I don't need to worry about some of these other aspects, because if I'm in community, other people are going to step up and show my kid, this is what a sanguine looks like. You don't have to worry about your mom trying to pretend. So I'm very much looking forward to having other people to fill in those gaps and give them those experiences, especially relationally.
It's so great.
I think that's a good point, too, to see that they don't have to be everything, too, and to realize that they need people. And, I remember when I got that light bulb moment thinking that, oh, I don't have to do everything for my kids. Like, God has put several people around me that are good in areas that I'm not good in.
So good.
Yeah, I'm wondering, this is more of a practical from you and maybe others. Like, I find that, like, with such busy schedules, like, it's even really hard to see just some of the moms and families in my home church along with those outside of them. So I just wondered if there were some suggestions on, like, how to even see each other a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I don't have, like, an easy answer to that. But I do think that, like, putting heads together and thinking, like, how could we actually have maybe, like, a family night or play day or whatever, you know, like, whatever, like thinking with your friends, like, this is a high priority, let's do it, but let's figure out how to do it in our busy lives. And I know that's not a good answer, but it's, I think that we can be creative, at least in my time, we figured out, my friends and I figured out, like, how could we have a day that we could have, put our kids together to play, or how could we, like, we used to do a night with, like, friends and neighborhood people where we would all, the kids would all get together, the moms would all get together, and the dads would all get together. And so, like, there's ways to, there are creative things to do, but it's, like, takes time to kind of sift through that together and figure out, like, what's actually feasible, what would be something that would work with our schedules. And then make it happen. I think my burden for that is, like, we do need to figure out how to do it. So what can give? Is there something that can give? Is there something that is a time that's actually available but that we haven't been thinking about? So kind of like multiple minds are helpful on thinking about that and getting people who are also committed to getting that time together. I don't know if that's, it's not enough, but it's, hopefully it's helpful. Oh.
I really liked everything that you had to say. I think that something really practical that I found when I read A Mother's Heart is that she suggests having some form of weekly time, whether that's, or regular time, whether that's weekly or monthly or whatever, where you sit down and you deliberately think about your kid and where they're at developmentally, spiritually, and whether or not you're kind of appropriately keeping up and adjusting to their needs. And I think that's a really good time to deliberately think about your fears and what fears are driving your parenting, because a lot of times our fears are so beneath the surface to us, and we're not consciously aware of them. And we're not aware of the fact that we're actually parenting out of fear. And so I think those times are really valuable to connect with God and hear from him as to, like, okay, in what ways am I not trusting you to meet my needs for, like, I really want to do a good job with my kid, but how much of that is sometimes not really about my kid and more about me wanting to feel significant and, like, secure and the fact that I'm doing a good job? And so, yeah, I would definitely suggest, like, getting regular time to think about.
That's a great suggestion. One more, I think, and then, oh, maybe two more.
I was just thinking, too, the benefit of community. It's weird, off of Katie's point, like, maybe becoming a mom is, in theory, one of the times where you're, like, the most sacrificial. But I feel like I got super self-obsessed in a way that I'd never experienced before, because I was, like, fighting for, like, my time is my time. Like, I got such a, like, crazy grip on, like, my schedule and my life when I also felt, like, this pull to also give out more than I ever had. And I think for me, that's, like, something I have to remind myself about community, is that not only does it benefit me in a lot of ways, it also forces me to not be so obsessed with myself.
Yeah.
And especially if you are more introverted, like, being a mom could be an excuse to be home by myself all the time. And part of me would love that. Well, by myself with a kid. But I think, like, having community, like, I have a commitment to you. I need to give out to you. I need to go to this meeting and serve other people and not think about myself. I think that is a real draw of community, is an outlet to get away from ourselves and to pour into other
people.
Yeah.
I love that. And then one more, and then we can.
So I think I have a question.
We'll see if I have an answer.
Okay, cool. So you said that community is a source of, like, truth and perspective correction, which I totally am down with. But that I also feel like there's this, like, weird thing about, like, talking to someone about how they're parenting, and, like, it's just, like, kind of like a no-no, you know? And, you know, there's different parenting styles, and, like, that's cool, like, I'm cool with that, but there's also things that I see that I'm like, I don't know if I don't think that aligns with, like, God's perspective here, and I don't know how to, like, really bring that up with someone. And I guess, yeah, so I guess my question is, like, if you are trying to, like, speak into someone's life about how they're parenting, it's a really delicate thing. Like,
yeah,
how do you go about doing that?
So first, I think we need to be people who greenlight our friends to talk to us and even ask them, like, do you see something that I'm doing here that causes you any concern? Or not to be overly analyzing every day or something, but we need to be open to hearing. We need to actually seek out input and wisdom from other people. I think when you're, so hopefully you can have some relationships where that's like a thing. But then I think if you're just trying to bring up a hard topic, and it is hard, and honestly, it is sort of like, there might be some people who just say, I don't want to, you know, you're overstepping. But I think a way to do it can be to inquisitively approach. Like, I'm not trying, you know, like, I'm just wondering about, like, I have an observation, but I'm not saying that this is, you know, I don't know what you're thinking or what's going on, but this is, like, something that I see. Can you help me understand it? So that it's sort of like helping them to talk about it in a way that's not quite just like, I'm coming in, I'm going to tell you, you know, that way you parented your kid, it messed up. But more like an observation where you're trying to, like, talk about it and not necessarily come in with, like, your judgment. If that's possible, I think that's better, you know. It's still, you might get a bad response, or, I mean, it's tough. It's like a very sensitive topic. I think we should be helping our friends and help each other to know, okay, this is a sensitive topic, and you do have, as a parent, you have your ideas of how to do it, but do we want to be open to at least talking through why we're doing what we're doing and like thinking about it more, trying to get people to kind of like put their guard down a little and be willing to do that is challenging, but it can be really worth it. So that's a really good goal. And like I said, we need to be like really open to that. Am I crazy? Sherry, do I need to stop?
Just in response to that, I think that when we do break that bubble with friends, even if it's a hard thing that someone's saying to us or a hard thing to, I don't know, grapple through, it does, as a parent, help us form stronger convictions about certain things. If someone's challenging us to think about something that we're doing in our parenting, it does, it's like, okay, right. I have to actually critically think about this now. Which, one, I might be wrong, but two, no, I actually have a really strong conviction about this, and this is the way I'm going to handle this, and this is why. So right. I do think it's delicate and partially taboo, but to have those trusted friendships that we can go there with, right. that's not an off-limit conversation or topic, is really helpful both ways.
Agreed. It's good. All right. Should I pray?
Yeah.
God, just thanks for all these ideas and thoughts today, and thank you that you are real and that you are involved. And like I was saying earlier, God, I'm so grateful for the way you've changed my life and so thankful for your wisdom and your love and your ability to give us forgiveness and just to be able to parent under that umbrella of yours that is, you know, accepting and loving and forgiving and grace-oriented. And I just pray that you can help these young parents to just continue to think through their priorities and think about what they most want in their lives and in their kids' lives. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.